future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London in Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We're going to be discussing three things in today's show. Number one, Coinbase custody now has over $1 billion under management. That's a huge amount of capital. But guess what? There's more to come. So we'll be discussing what's going on and what this really means for the space. Number two, world's fifth largest electrical company is using an Ethereum dApp. We're going to be talking about that. And number three, can Bitcoin win the digital payments gauge war? So with that in mind, let's get down to business and let's jump into the show. All right, let's kick things off. So let's talk about Coinbase. Coinbase custody now has over $1 billion under management. That's a big figure. And let's work out what's been going on, what's been happening there, and kind of give you the skinny on what's been going down. So Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong said the exchange's custody service, Coinbase Custody, now has over $1 billion in assets under management in just 12 months after launch. In an on-stage discussion at CoinDesk Consensus 2019 event on Wednesday, Armstrong was asked by a panel moderator and Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Vigner about the status of his institutional involvement in the cryptocurrency industry. Armstrong replied, "We launched our custody 12 months ago. We've just crossed over $1 billion under management or institutions. 70 institutions have signed up," adding that about $150 million under management in the last month. So, to a degree, that has been a success. He added that institutions were not merely interested in having their funds sit idle while in custody either. They want to be staking and voting, doing governance on-chain, Armstrong said. "I think that will grow rapidly." He also noted that Bitcoin is still the main asset of interest for institutions. But the interest on other cryptocurrencies is still growing. So Coinbase currently offers services for 30 coins for institutions, including staking as a service for some. Both panelists, Armstrong and Union Square Venture partner Fred Wilson, noted that institutions involved are not necessarily the big traditional players most are familiar with, such as BlackRock. "The token funds and venture funds will make up the first two big institutional funds," Wilson said. "For them, traditional institutions to take their chips and go all in, I don't see that happening in the next year or two." Wilson added, "When we see people in the Wall Street Journal that institutions are coming to the crypto, they think Goldman's is coming. But in reality, maybe 100 token funds in the US and 100 in Asia are all in so far." The Coinbase trading platform geared towards the advanced trader, Coinbase Pro, is seeing the more notable institutional involvement as well, Armstrong said. So with more than half of its trading volume now coming from said institutions, 60% of our trading volume is from institutions itself, Armstrong said. While so far a success, Coinbase being the sole custodian for user funds is not the exchange's end goal. Armstrong envisioned users themselves taking a more active role in the custodial process, stating, "I'd love to be in a world where people get self-custody and still participate in exchanges. We're talking to people at Starkquo about that at this current point in time." So that's what's been going down there. I think it's really interesting because Coinbase has done a really good job. I know that they have a lot of mixed views and opinions on them in the industry. And I think for the retail trader, you know, they are a very expensive option. But what they have done incredibly well is managed to gain institutional interest and attraction, not only on the venture side of things, so with the fundraising they've been doing. For example, the Singapore Sovereign Wealth Fund is an investor into Coinbase. So they've done a really good job at presenting themselves and gaining interest from institutions as a point of investment. But also on the flip side of that, they've done a really, really good job on building out a credible system that basically has a large legal framework to it. And that institutions can understand, and they can come into the office and explain how it works and how the custody works. And they've done a really good job at pushing that forward, which is really important for the cryptocurrency space. When you want to gain institutional adoption, you need people pushing forward, wearing suits, walking up to the offices, explaining how the process works and how they can offer a service. More and more Coinbases will come out in this space. We're seeing more and more exchanges set up on a daily basis. But Coinbase has done a really good job at, I think, really putting themselves at the forefront of safety and custody. It's something they've done a phenomenal job on. So, news from Ethereum. World's fifth largest electrical company is using an Ethereum dApp. One of the world's largest electrical companies is teaming up with the Ethereum app IX, I-E-X-E-C, on a new test. EDF, the fifth largest electrical utility company with a $33 billion market cap, has launched its visual simulation software, the GPU SPH on iExec, a decentralized application that operates on Ethereum mainnet. With this, EDF can test how the program operates on a blockchain rather than a more normal computing environment. Specifically, the simulator explores a field called smoothed particle hydronics for modeling fluids. It's technical in nature, but the general idea is that the GPU SPH application is useful for studying all sorts of things, like water dams, for example, or even lava cooling. EDF is trying to determine whether Ethereum has any benefit to the simulator itself, which typically runs on a GPU. As EDF blockchain engineer Gilles Deleuze told media sources, in a wider perspective, development of distributed computing is a credible scenario for the future, and blockchain may be a nice lever in this scenario, so we're exploring it. Originally an extension of a decade-old research project, iExec is one of the longer-running Ethereum apps launched in 2016 to explore the concept of cloud computing on the blockchain. While the world of cloud computing is currently dominating by large companies like Amazon, they're trying to decentralize the form of computing on Ethereum. iExec head of innovation and adoption, Jean-Charles Kolb, argued to media sources that the advantages of using iExec for GPU SPH are many, including clear monitoring of the state computational power of the app and increased resilience of the app. So it's running on a decentralized network. But perhaps one of the most pressing problems Ethereum faces is that it doesn't scale well, at least not yet. But iExec argues that they've come around with their own scaling solution to at least ensure their dApp is scalable. The heavy computing is done off-chain and does not overwhelm Ethereum. Afterwards, blockchain is used to recognize a consensus on the validity of computation's result. A hash of the result is stored on the blockchain. So that's really interesting. You can make an argument on what he's saying is that a hash of the result is stored on the blockchain itself. The computation is actually done in a centralized system. You could argue that their system is probably centralized and it uses an element of blockchain in what they're looking to do. So is it really decentralized? And I see that with a lot of different projects coming through, especially ones built on Ethereum, whereby they have they can't put their whole system on Ethereum because it's just too slow and it will block up the network and they got to pay for transactions coming through. So what they're doing is they're doing all the computation offline and then they might hash and store that on the blockchain itself. So the question you may ask there is, well, why do you really need Ethereum in that case? You don't. A lot of it is to make people interested that they're using blockchain technology, not in all cases, but that's what we're seeing a lot of, which is a shame because Ethereum definitely has, you know, a lot of premise, but I think for larger enterprise level type applications, EOS is your pick. Okay, so Bitcoin, well, can it win the digital payments gauge war? So let's look into this. So the promise or potential of Bitcoin as a technology is frequently described in terms of a platform. On top of Bitcoin's permissionless blockchain, the argument goes, all kinds of things could be built to reduce the power and profit of trusted intermediaries. If you fear and resent monopolies, particularly those that are becoming more obnoxious as the digital age processes, this is an alluring future. It may also be an illusion. Not only are the use cases so far rather limited, but increasingly implementations upon closer inspection turn out to be permission blockchains, which are actually some form of relatively centralized shared database controlled by trusted intermediaries. The terminology and rhetoric may have changed. For activities such as organizing supply chains, or clearing financial transactions. But the reality looks remarkable, similar to what existed before Bitcoin was invented. Bitcoin's arrival and the said disruptive potential it vaguely represented seemed too good for various industries exploring an old form of distributed database technology. But this is hardly a revolution. Will Bitcoin ever have a more meaningful, impactful on society than this? Before we ponder that more deeply, let's pause and reflect on what definitely already exists. Bitcoin has proved to be a remarkable, robust means of making certain kinds of payments. It also has a store of value. I'll bet one that is highly volatile. Of course, Bitcoin has spawned a variety of other cryptocurrencies, which range from being reasonable projects to others that are less appealing, let's just say. I think in speculating on whether Bitcoin and its imitators can progress beyond these modest beginnings, one important historical analogy is useful as development of railways in the UK. Some initial railways were highly profitable, e.g. the Liverpool-Manchester line, and others were miracles of engineering, the Great Western, but in a various sense, less successful. Many of them were more humdrum. They were excessive competition in what became known as the gauge war. As well as crazy moments of speculation and plenty of overripe fraud, it was the first big capitalism boom, and it set the tone for pretty much everything else that followed. What did railway really accomplish? There were three major impacts, some but not all of which were clear at the beginning. First, railways broke up the grip that canals had on the movement of heavy goods. Turnpikes or toll roads were fine for small-scale movement of passengers, but anything heavier needed to go on barge. Not surprisingly, canal owners were generally opposed to railway development, spawning fights that went on for years. This pitched battle for obvious to everyone who understood transportation element in the pricing of coal and other traded goods. Second, railways were encouraged people to travel. The number of people traveling by rail, for example, between Liverpool to Manchester, quickly surpassed the number who had been brave enough to take a stagecoach. Third, the railway created new jobs, but also destroyed livelihoods. The people who ran and otherwise benefited from turnpikes did not do so well. Over several decades, railways were a net positive on the jobs front, including many occupations that were relatively well paid, although other jobs were most definitely dangerous and underpaid by any reasonable metric. The scale and scope of the economic and social impact was impressive and likely a surprise to most people. So if you take all of this back to Bitcoin and assume that only the narrow versions survive, solely a payment system, this could be still a major potential competitive threat to all forms of financial gatekeepers, but only insofar as Bitcoin can outcompete its rivals among other means of digital payments. Various companies in this arena are trying to build railroads, some focused on functionality, others aiming for more elegant solutions. But for the customer, it's all about getting from A to B fastest at the lowest cost. So that's what we're currently seeing at the minute. We're seeing all these different people coming out the woodworks, trying to compete, trying to make it happen. But really, who has the network effect as well? And Bitcoin has the network effect. People are transacting with Bitcoin. People understand Bitcoin. Bitcoin may not be the fastest, but that's okay because Bitcoin works. Bitcoin is reliable. And if you look back throughout history, especially from a technology standpoint, Google wasn't the first search engine. Google was the 26th search engine. So if you look back at Bitcoin has already done its job. It brought the technology to light. It's brought out the innovators. It's brought us all together. It's made us understand that we have this amazing technology called blockchain that we can push forward. We can push the envelope on. So in my standpoint, I think Bitcoin is one of the greatest achievements that's come out of the 21st century. And I think that from Bitcoin, we now have the ability to move the envelope forward, which is the most exciting part. And that's something that we're definitely focusing on here at SVK Crypto, pushing the envelope forward. So listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention. As always, hit us up on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Follow us or hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you will find us. And if you have any further questions or queries, feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory@svkcrypto.com.